We begin the current daf from Sefer Kedushin, daf Ayin Ches. We begin on the second line down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which was discussing the Bia of Psuli Kuna. That is, there are certain women that are forbidden specifically to Kahanim, and moreover, they become Chalala, they become someone that's forbidden to Truma and to Kuna when they have Bia with these type of men. And these halach is what the Gemara continues discussing. So Amar Rav Yehuda says, Kohen Gadol ba'almana. When a Kohen Gadol gets married to an almana, to a widow, which Rashi points out the same thing would be for a Kohen Hedya to a Grusha or a Chalala, because as we learned in the previous daf, in the previous discussion, that we actually learn out the halachas of Kohen Hedya to a Grusha from a Kohen Gadol to almana, where just like by Kohen Gadol to almana, the Zera becomes Chulin, and that's actually why it says the superfluous term is Zaina by Kohen Gadol. And it says that by Kohen Hedid, to tell you also by Kohen Hedid, with a Grusha B'chalutza, is also going to be Lo Yechal, it's also going to desecrate his children. So regarding such halacha, says Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Kishtayim. So that relationship actually incurs two penalties of lashes. Achas Mishum Lo Yikach. One is because what the Pasuk says in Meikra, it's a Perek Chafal of Pasuk Yedal, says, Mana Grusha B'chalola Zaynes Eila, all these women that are forbidden, says Lo Yikach, that he shouldn't take, which is a violation of Kiddushin. As we know, Kicha, the term Yikach always connotes Kiddushin. Now, the halacha that Rabbi Huda is discussing is regarding when they have Bia after Kiddushin. That's what he says, you get two lashes. One is for the negative prohibition of not to take them, which is the part of the process of marriage. Achakach Mishum, and then there's also the other halacha, which is the next pasuk after that, which says Lo Yichal, that, which as we learned in the previous daf, which means to say, who is the one that there's chilul for, someone that was originally kosher and then became a chul, is the wife. So therefore, the fact that it was mechal har with that bia, so the marriage was lo yikach, and then the bia afterwards was lo yichal, so he gets two sets of lashes for amona getting married to kohen gadol, or grusha v'chalutza to kohen hedid. Now, that the Gemara asks, v'lilki nami mishum lo yichal zaroi, but there should be another set of lashes, a third one, which is not just for Lo Yichal, but for the word after that. We know that the Gemara learned there's two people that are becoming Chalolim with that act of Bia. There's the woman herself, which that we learned from Yichal, because who's the one that's become a Chul is really the woman. But the Pasuk also says, V'lo Yichal Zarei, and there's also Chil Zera. He's making his children into Chalolim, and the Torah is telling you not to do that. So that should be a third set of lashes. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda was talking about B'shaloi Gama B'yasei. When he didn't conclude his act of cohabitation, where there is no chil of zera, because he's not going to conceive a child from that act of bia, but the woman herself, she becomes a chalala just with the act of havara, which is just the touching, the beginning of the act of cohabitation, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Yevamos, that a woman could be kinder with the act of bia, whether through a complete act of bia or just the beginning stages of that act, which cannot conceive a child, and there's no difference between what type of bia it is. And that's the case that Rav Yehuda is discussing. Just even hara would be violating two lavin with amalekah and God, the one of Leikach and one of Leichal. Now, however, the Gemara asks in Rav Yehuda's halacha, Masab Rava. Rava asks about Mishnah Masechtas Makkos. The Mishnah says, Almana u'grusha. If a Kayan Gadol has Bia with a widow that's also a Grusha, like a Mishnah Mishnei Shemus, so he's going to get lashes for two different sets of violations with this one act of Bia with this one woman, because A, she's an Amana who's forbidden to him, and she's a Grusha, which is another Isratim. Now, ask Rava, my lav, Shnei Shemus Besulai. Doesn't it sound like from that Mishnah that there's only two prohibitions he's going to be violating and two sets of lashes, and that's it? Which, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there actually should be more than that, because not only is he violating Lo Yikach of one of Amana and one of Grusha, but there's also Lo Yichal. So why is the Mishnah there say there's only two? So I think Moshe says, Lo, no. Most definitely, like the Mishnah there is saying, that you get Loike Mishum Shnei Shemais, that Shnei Shemais is going on Grusha and Almana. In other words, Shnei Shemais Alzeh v'Shnei Shemais Alzeh. Each one of Grusha and Chalutza get two sets of lashes. Each one has the element of Leikach in it, and each one has the element of Loichal in it, and each one has its own individual two. So there is two, but two in each one, two of Grusha and two of Chalutza, which are four. Now the Gemara asks, Ihache Mesefer, but then look at the Sefer, that Mishnah. The Mishnah there says, when it's Grusha v'chalutza, let's say this same woman was not only a Grusha, but she was also a Chalutza, in a Chayiv Ela Al Achas, then you're only liable on one. That sounds like on one set of lashes, not just one of the two. And yet, according to Rabbi Huda, it shouldn't be, even if let's say you're only going to be liable for Grusha, but you should be liable for two sets of lashes. And the Gemara says, no, hachikama, this is what the Mishnah was saying in the Sefer. Ein chayv ela al achas, you're only going to be liable for one of those two, meaning for Grusha, you're going to be chayv malchus, and not on Chalutza, but in Grusha, you can be liable for all the liabilities that come with Grusha, which, as Rabbi Yehuda holds, ula oilim shnei shemes, that there's two violations in the halach of Grusha. Now, whereas Chalutza, Chalutza is not biblical. It's only a rabbinic violation for a kohen to marry Chalutza. So they'd be only be liable for one, meaning for the Grusha element, not the Chalutza. But when you're saying on one, it means on one of those two. But in that one, there's going to be two violations, one of Leikach, one Leichal. Now, the Gemara asks on this, on the way we're answering the Sefer of this Mishnah, which sounds like that the one that you can be chayv for is Grusha, not a Chalutza. But ask the Gemara, v'chalutza d'rabbanan. So what are you saying? Why is there no lashes on? We know when there's shinamana grusha, you get for both. So why wouldn't she's grusha chalutza only on one on grusha, not on chalutza? Because you're going to say chalutza, there's no lashes because only rabbinic. But v'tan, the Gemara asks, we learn the Brayis. So the pasuk says, in the Yikach of Aleph pasuk Zayin, when it tells about the prohibition to marry, it says a grusha. So it says the Brayis, only el grusha. I would know that a kohen is only forbidden to a grusha, a woman that was divorced. Chalutza minayin, how do we know that a woman that was never divorced, she was only widowed, but her husband died without any children, then her yavam did chalitza to her. How do we know that she's also forbidden to a kohen? Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches over there when it talks about the issa of grusha, it calls her ve'isha grusha me'isha, a woman who's divorced from her husband is forbidden to the kohen. So the extra word ve'isha comes to tell you not only grusha, but even something that's similar to a grusha, which is that not divorced from her husband, but divorced from her yavam. So you see clearly that the pasuk, the drasha, is telling you a deraisa halacha of chalutza being forbidden to a kohen. But the Gemara says, no, midrabban, that's only rabbinic law. V'kras machta b'alma. The pasuk is just an allusion to this, where the rabbanan find the sources for their halachas in Torah words, but it's not a deraisa, it's not a biblical drasha, and therefore it's only rabbinic halacha regarding the confusion between with the grusha and the chalutza. But really, it's only rabbinic, and that's why you're only going to be chayv alachas. But again, that one, you're going to have two violations of leikach and leichal. Now, continuing on this halacha of Rabbi Huda, the Gemara actually has a machlekes, Abaya and Rava, how to qualify this. Abaya says, Kidesh, if a kohen gadol or a kohen hedyud got engaged to one of those who are apostle to him, again, either grusha, chalutza, chalala, zayna, so the halacha says, Abaya, leike, he gets lashes. And if baal, like it. And if, let's say, he had bia, he gets lashes. Meaning, either one. If you do either kedushin, you'll get one lashes. If you do only bia, you'll get lashes too. As he explains. Kiddush like mishum leikach. As Rabbi Yehuda explained, there's two isurim over here. Now, each one of these isurim are actually in a different phase of the relationship. If he just does kedushin, he's going to violate the isav leikach, which sounds like kedushin, which that's how you acquire the woman. And says, leikach, don't take her, which is kedushin, kicha kicha. So just be makadishar, you're going to get lashes for. Now, baal leikah mishum leichal. Let's say you only have bia and you didn't do kedushin with the aman and kohen gadol. So you're also going to get lashes because it says leichal. And when you have bia, which is possible for the woman to have, turns her into halala, you're violating leichal. Rav Amah, he disagrees. He says, baal, if the kohen gadol has bia with the amana after kedushin, then like, then he's going to get two sets of lashes, like Rav Yehuda had said, because there's two leikach and leichal. But loybal, says Rava, but if the kohen gadol never had bia with the almana that he was engaged to, then ain't a loike, then he's not going to be chayv even one set of lashes. Mishum dechsiv leikach leichal, because the pasuk says, don't take the widow. And then it continues and says, why? Because of leichal, you shouldn't desecrate the children or the woman that you have through the act of bia. Which tells you, matam lo yikach, what's the reason why the Torah is telling you the kohen gadol cannot marry the amana? Is mishum lo yichal. It's because you shouldn't desecrate it, because that's usually what happens. You get engaged, you get married, then you have bia. Now, the Torah is telling you that it's not lo yikach itself that's going to be a violation that has lashes. It's only because that leads to lo yichal. But if you get engaged without having bia, then you're not going to be chayiv even on the lo yikach, not like abaya. Now, the Gemara says, however, that each one agrees to the other one in another context, that although, let's say, Rava says that you need both, and Abaya says only one, but the Gemara says, Umayda Abaya. Abaya agrees that although he says in this context that you can be chayv malchus for just the kedushin regarding an Isser with kahuna, it's only because over here by each one is its own separate lav, and the Torah doesn't make a contingent on the loyichal. Loyichach has its own lav, holds Abaya, just for kedushin, and loyichal is its own lav. But regarding a non-kain, a regular Yisrael, When he remarries the woman that he divorced after she had already married someone else and then got widowed from that man or got divorced from him. So although the pasuk says, La yachol shuv lekach, he's not going to go back and marry her, which is a warning regarding kedushin. That's what the word it says over there, lekachta. But Abaye agrees, shem kiddush v'loibal, that he had kedushin with his ex-wife and he doesn't have bi with her, she'ena loika, that he's not going to get lashes until he has bi with her. Because the Torah specifically, explicitly makes a contingent on the bi with her. Why? Because lekachta liyas leili isham rachman. The Torah tells you that don't go ahead and take her back to be for you a wife. Now, since the Torah already mentioned the kedushin component, which that's what the word of lekachta means, so when the pasuk then continues and says liyas leili isha to be for him a wife, what is that coming to add on? That's to tell you a wife of bia, of consummating the relationship through the act of bia. That's what the Torah is telling you why you're not allowed to be machzik grushasa v'aleka. And if you only marry her without having bia, you never got there. And therefore, you're not going to be getting lashes, even according to Abaye, for the kedushin itself. Now, so to the other way, Umayda Rava, Rava agrees that although, let's say by the Issa of Kuhuna, he explained that you need to have both, it's not enough with just kedushin. You have to have kedushin and bia. It's only when you have bia after kedushin, and kedushin itself, you're not going to get lashes. But Rava agrees, but kohen gadol ba'amana, recounting a kohen gadol with a widow, she'imbal v'lay kiddush shalayka, that if you have bia with the widow, without having kedushin as a kohen gadol, then he will get lashes. In other words, he agrees that the bia over there is not contingent on the kedushin, and the reason being is because the v'lay chal zar ba'am of rachmana. So no, although he says that kedushin itself, you're not going to be chayiv because it says layikach and it says layichal, but actually the bia itself you would be chayiv on even without the kedushin. Why? Because the Torah tells you v'lay chal zar ba'am of rachmana. The Torah says don't desecrate his children v'harichil. And with the act of bia, he was machal, let's say he has a gemar bia, his children. And even if he didn't, he was machal the woman. So that itself is a violation of chil. So even though kedushin itself, he holds you're not going to be chayiv for that until you have both. But the chil itself, you will be violating even if you don't have kedushin. Now, that's where each one agrees to the other one. Now, both Abaye and Rava agree by someone that remarries the woman that he divorced. In other words, what are they both agreeing to? Even though that both of them hold regarding a kayin, for the woman that he's apostle to, that the Kohen will get lashes if he just has bia with that woman without having Kedushin, which Abaye holds always, even if you have one and not the other. But even as Rava, we said, he holds that when there's just bia without Kedushin, you will be chayiv. But both of them agree by a Yisrael that remarries the woman that he divorced after she was married to someone else, she'imbol v'lei kiddush, that if he has bia with the woman that he was once married to and then remarried her without having Kedushin, she'ein aloika. That there, he's not going to get lashes. Why? Because Derech Likuch and Aser Torah, the Torah made it forbidden on the man to remarry his old wife, only through the context, the bia that was forbidden was not its own specific lav, it was only if it was being done through marriage, because that's what the pasuk says. L'yuchul shub l'ashub l'kachta liyas leila isha. What's the problem of being liyas leila isha to have bia with her? It's only through lekachta, which is kicha, which is kedushin. Only then is he going to have the set of lashes. But if he just has bia with his ex-wife, then that actually is not going to be a liability for lashes. Now Gemara goes back to explaining one of the halachas of our Mishnah. So it was talking about the bas chal. It was talking about the daughter of a chal, even ben achar ben. The daughter is going to be a chalala. Yehuda, I mean, he segued into a related discussion. He said, "Bas ger zacher ke bas chal." Just like we said in the Mishnah, that the daughter of a chal is going to be a chalala, and a chal again is someone, a kohen, that is the product of a forbidden union, where his father, let's say, was a kohen gadol, his mother was an almana, so he becomes a chal. So his daughter becomes a chalala. Says Rabbi Yehuda, so too the daughter of a male convert is just like a chal zacher, a ger zacher. His daughter is also going to be a chalala. In other words, she's going to be forbidden to marry a kohen. So the Gemara explains, Tanya learned the Braisa. Yehuda says that this halacha, and he explains it, bas ger zacher ke bas chal zacher, the daughter of a male convert, even if, let's say, her mother is a regular Yisraelis, but it's going to be like ke bas chal zacher, and she's going to be forbidden to kohuna. And explains Rabbi Yehuda, v'adin naisen, and the law should give such logic, in other words, it's a kavachaymer. Why? Ma chal sheba metipik sheira, if a chal, who he comes from kosher drop of seed. In other words, both his parents were full-fledged Jews. and Kohen Gadol, Amana. Yet Bitei Psula, but this daughter of the Chal, his daughter is going to be Pasul Tekuna, as we explained in the previous daf, where it says Leichal Zaroi, which Zaroi, his children, referring to the Kohen Gadol who is married to a widow, we compare him to his children, because it's his children. Just like he, the Kohen Gadol, is Machal Hezara, through this marriage to the Amana, so to his son will also be Machal Hezara, which as we learned over there is referring to his daughter. So, if a Chal that comes from kosher parents, Bitei Psula, his own daughter's puzzle. So Gersha Bamitipa Psula, so a convert who came from non-Jewish parents, who's a drop that's puzzle for the Jewish people, in the din should be the Psula, isn't it a Kavah Chaimer, that his own daughter should be puzzle to marry into the Kuna? Now that the Gemara asks, but Malachal, how can you compare to a Chal, Shekin Yitzurasa Ba'avera, where he, the Chal, was formed, his whole formation was in sin, because his mother conceived him in a sin by violating the Isra of a widow getting married to a Kohen Gadol. But a non-Jew who gets married to a non-Jewess, there's no iser in regarding their marriage. So maybe their child who ended up converting is actually his own daughter, could go ahead and marry to a kohen. So that the Gemara says, no, kohen gadol ba'amanu yechiach. The halacha of a kohen gadol who gets married to a widow could disprove that, because she'ein yitzirase ba'avera, there the kohen gadol who had that bia, his formation wasn't in sin. He had kosher parents, and his parents didn't sin when they had this kohen gadol. And yet, Bitei Psula, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, when he gets married to the Amana, his daughter is Pasul. So you see that it doesn't have to be someone who is formed in sin to create their child Pasul Tekuna. Because a Kohen Gadol who wasn't formed in sin, when he has a relationship with an Amana, he could create a child that is going to be Pasul Tekuna. So therefore, don't say that we can't learn out halacha of Ger from Chol. Because, Chol makes a child that's Pasul Tekuna because it's formed in sin. I'll show you that that's not the crucial variable, because by Kohen Gadol, he could create a child that's Pasul Tekuna, even though he wasn't created in sin. So therefore, the Kavah Chaimer should still stand. But the Gemara asks, but Mala Kohen Gadol ba'amana, but how could you learn out from Kohen Gadol to Amana, Shekin Biyasa ba'avera, where, yeah, of course he could make his daughter Pasul Tekuna, because that bia that he had with this widow that created this daughter was through an act of sin. That's why that daughter is going to be Pasul Tekuna, because she was formed in sin. But how could you compare that to a Ger who married a Yisraelis, who his Bia, that he's having his daughter from, is with a regular Yisraelis, that's Beheter? So the Gemara goes back, B'chol Yechiach. But Chol could disprove that, because when a Chol marries a Yisraelis, who his Bia is not Ba'avera, and still you see that the child's going to be someone, a chalala, someone that's possible to marry Tekuna. So the Gemara says what you do is what's called v'chazra din. So the law goes back and forth. In other words, you want to find what's the common denominator to show that there's a psul and they create a child, a daughter that's possible Tekuna, where, yeah, although this one, let's say, has a certain stringency, and you're going to say maybe that's why it creates a child possible Tekuna, but I'll show you, no, another one that also creates a child possible Tekuna doesn't have that. So that can't be the defining factor to say why we wouldn't be able to learn out gear from there. So the Gemara says, Lei rizeh kerizeh. Each one doesn't have specifically the exact same characteristic as the other. In other words, when a Kohen Gadol is married to Amana, when he makes a child that's going to be Pasul Tekuna, the father wasn't created in sin, but the bia was in sin. Okay, but by Chalal, his bia is not in sin, but he was formed in sin. So each one has something different, and therefore that can't be the characteristic that makes the child a Chalala. So what's the common denominator in all of them? She'enon b'roiv hakol, and something, they're different somehow than the rest of the Jewish people. Either because one of them was formed in sin, which is the chol, or let's say by the Kohen Gadol to the Amana, where his bia was in sin. But one thing is, when you're different, when there's something different here regarding the conception, so then that'll create a child that's pasul tekuna. So afen evias ager. So therefore, I could then also include ger in this, his child being pasul tekuna. She'enon b'roiv hakol, who's also regarding conception, not the same as the rest of the Jewish people, because he came from a Tipa Psula. His parents weren't Jewish. And therefore, we could say that his daughter is also going to be Pasul Tekuna. But the Gemara still asks, Malat Tzara Shava Shabahan, even the common denominator, Shekin Yesh Bem Tzara Vera, but there's at least an element of sin, either because the Bia that's creating this daughter was in sin, or because the parent himself was formed in sin, but Ger that marries a Yisraelis, who there's no sin. His parents that were non-Jews, there was no sin for them to have him. He, when he's married now, is no sin. So why should we say that his daughter is going to be Pasul Tekuna? So the Gemara says, you're right, we have to amend it. Don't say that what could disprove, in other words, the questions that we have, and to say that it'll still be a Kavu Chaymer, to say that a Ger's daughter should be passed to Kahuna, because, yeah, you can't just learn that from a Chal, you have to disprove that from a Kahal Ba'amana. You can't say that, because then there's still a question, because both of those are sins. Rather say that a first generation Egyptian convert will disprove and show that the fact that Chal has certain stringencies is not a reason why we can't learn that as a Kavu Chaymer to Ger. And it's talking about a first-generation Mitzri who marries a first-generation Mitzris, where their marriage is not in sin. They're allowed to marry each other. And they were informed in sin, and yet their daughter is possible because the daughter is going to be a second-generation Mitzri convert, which the Torah says that up until the third generation, they're forbidden to marry into the Jewish people. So you see that by a Mitzri Rishon, there's no Yitzras Abaveir, there's no Bias Abaveir, and yet the daughter is going to be possible to Kohuna. So too, you could say the same thing regarding the Ger, that his daughter, where at least is in the Bereva Kol, therefore his daughter will be possible Kuna. Now the Gemara asks on that too. Mala Mitzri Rishon, how could you learn now from a first generation convert? Shekin Eina Roy Lova Bekol, where they're not allowed to even marry any of the Jewish people besides the Mitzris, the ones that are Psulis. But whereas a Ger is allowed to marry any regular Israelis, maybe his daughter will be kosher for Kuhuna. So the Gemara says, no, Chol Yechir. Chol could disprove that because he's roed to marry a regular Jewish woman, and yet his daughter's going to be possible. So you see, the fact that Mitzri Rishon has this stringency, that's not the critical factor. And therefore, V'chazra Din. The logic goes back, and we say, Lo Rizeh K'Rizeh. Each one has different particularities. But at Sarah Shavah Shebehen, the She'in B'Rei V'Kol, what's the common denominator we can find between the Chol and the Mitzri Rishon, that their daughters are possible to Kahuna, is that they're not like the rest of the people. Where again, one of them, the Chol, was formed in sin, and by the Mitzri Rishon, it's that he's not fit to marry into the rest of the Jewish people, Upita Psula, and we find that both of them, the daughter is going to be passed to Kuna. So Avani Evi, yes, I care, She'ina Bereva Kol, so therefore I would also include a convert, who's also not like the rest of the Jewish people, because again, he comes from a putrid drop that's not kosher, his parents were not Jewish, and therefore Upita Psula, therefore we're going to say he's not the higher standard of Yichus, and therefore his daughter is going to be passed to Kuna like those. But the Gemara still asks, Malatzad Hashavah Shebehen, but what do we find by the common denominator of those of a Mitzri Rishon and a Chol? Shekin Paislim Bibi Asam. If they have Bia with a woman, that Bia will invalidate that woman from Kahuna, which as we learned in the previous daf, in the Braisa, in the Ein Dalma Beis, that said exactly these words. A man that's over 9 years old, whether he's a Ger from Amayni, Ma'avi, and so forth, and Mitzri, where the halacha is that if he has bia with a woman, it makes her pasul from kahuna. And same thing is with a chal. Now, how can you therefore compare it to a ger, who if he has bia with a Jewish woman, does not make her pasul for kahuna, maybe there his daughter is going to be kasha for kahuna. So on that, the Gemara actually answers, Rabbi Yehuda, ger nami pasul bibiyase. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda actually holds that a ger that has bia with a Jewish woman actually makes her pasul with his bia from marrying to kahuna. And he actually learns out that halacha also from this same comparison, from the same halacha that we're learning from a chol and a Mitzri Rishon, which it would go the same way. It would say, just like we find by a chol that comes from a tipik sheira, makes a woman pasul with his bia. So a ger that comes from a tipik psula, isn't it a kol shekin that he would make a woman pasul with his bia? Now, then you would ask, oh, but what do you find by chol? And then you would say, oh, but you find Mitzri Rishon different. And you would go back and forth, where they are not like Rav Kol, and they make a woman pasul with their bia, so too, the ger would make a woman pasul bibiyasai, and therefore again, this is the source, actually two halachas that Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, which one is the halacha of our Mishnah, that bas ger zachar is kebas chol zachar. He knows that from a mahatzad, from the common denominator of Mitzri Rishon and a chol, where they're not like the majority of the Jewish people on some element regarding conception, so too, the daughter of the ger, who he's not from Tipak Sheira, his daughter will also be pasul to Kuna. And that's actually where we know it. So to the halacha, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's going to make the woman that he has bia with also pasul to Kuna, again, from that same common denominator, and therefore that's not a refutation on the Mahatzad itself. Now the Gemara continues with our Mishnah, that there are two other opinions regarding this halacha of the Yichus, the child of a ger regarding marrying to Kahuna, which we have Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. He says that a ger that marries a Yisraelis, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He holds actually the daughter will be kasher for kohuna. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Yisi, who holds that actually, even if both parents are ger and geyeris, the daughter is going to be kasher for kohuna. Now, The Gemara now brings a fourth opinion. Tanya Lin the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi Yomer, he says, even the Geiris herself, up until now we're talking about only a child of Geir, if they're kashrut v'kuna. Shimon Yechi says, Geiris p'chusim b'bas shalosh shalom b'yem echad, a female convert, if she converted under the age of 3, she herself is going to be kshayu l'kuhuna, she's going to be kashrut v'kuna. Now Rashi sums up the four-way machlokes that we have so far regarding the halachas of Geir. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we just discussed, that he holds Bas Ger Zachar, the daughter of a male convert, is going to be pasul of a kohuna, even if the mother is a Yisraelis, a regular Jewish woman. Now, according to Rabbi Yehazar, he holds as long as one of the parents are a Yisrael, the child's going to be kosher of a kohuna. Now, however, he held that if both parents are converts, then the daughter is going to be pasul of a kohuna. The third opinion was Rabbi Yehazar, who holds that even when a Ger marries a Geiris, the daughter is going to be kosher of a kohuna. However, he still holds that the conception and the birth of that child has to be in sanctity, meaning at least when the parents had already converted, that they were already Jewish. Now, Reb Shimon's coming to say even the Geiris herself could be kosher for kahuna, as long as she wasn't fit for Bia when she was still non-Jewish, which, because if she's over the age of 3, then we assume that that by non-Jews, she could have had Bia with someone, and then that would make her into a Zayna. A Zayna is forbidden to kahuna. But if she's under the age of 3, then there's no problem, because then, as we'll see shortly, she's not role for Bia, and even if a man would have had Bia with the 2-year-old, it wouldn't be considered halachically like a Bia, and it wouldn't turn her into a Zayna. So he's saying even under the age of 3, the Geiris herself is kasha for kahuna. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, v'chol hataf banashim, and all the small ones of the women, I mean little girls, you could keep alive for you when you go ahead and fight this war with the Midianim, telling the Jewish people when they were in the Midbar. Now, Pinchas was the leader of that war, and he was a Kayin. And it's saying that whoever goes out to fight this war with Midian, including Pinchas, could take these young women as wives. So you see that under the age of 3, even though that it's a Kayin, and she herself is going to be a Geiris, because they're taking them and converting them to Judaism, you see it's okay as long as they're under the age of 3. Now, but Rabbanan, who disagree, all these other opinions that said, no, the Geiris herself is never fit for Kahuna, it's only maybe the daughter of a Geirim, Hachiyu Lechem, they learn up the pasuk when it says that you could take these young girls and keep them alive for you. It wasn't to take as a wife, it was Lavad Meleshvach, is to take them for slaves and maidservants. The Gemara explains, "V'kulam mikro echad darshu." All these four opinions that we mentioned, these tanoim, they actually all expounded from the same pasuk in Yecheskel. Pasuk says, "Amana ugrusha liyikhu lehem lenashim." Toma fakahana says that widows and divorcees, they're not allowed to take for them as wives. Ki im besuleis mizera beis Yisrael, they only should take maidens, young women from the seed of the Jewish people. Now, so the Gemara goes through all the four opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Saver, he held ad the isli kol zera mi Yisrael, until all of the seed is from the Jewish people, which, as Rashi translates, means to say, until the primary, which is called seed, which is from the father's seed, which excludes the bas ger zachar, because there the seed is not from Yisrael, because the father is not from zera Yisrael. He's a ger. So therefore, bas ger zachar is going to be possible. But there's Ben Yaakov Saba, he holds no mizera, it says, from the seed, which sounds like only part of it, vafilamikza zera, even if it's the weaker seed. In other words, from the mother, if a ger marries the Israelis, then the daughter is going to be kasha for kuhuna. Rabbi Yasi Saba, he held, it means misha nizru bi Yisrael, it means someone that was seeded amongst the Jewish people. In other words, as long as her conception is kedusha, we don't care that our parents were once non-Jewish. As long as, even if they're both converts, but since the daughter, this woman, was seated amongst the Jewish people, that is already considered Mizer Yisrael. And Shimon Yechi Saba, he held, Misha Nizru Besuleu B'Yisrael. It's talking about a woman that her virginity was seated amongst the Jewish people. In other words, that they sprouted and her Besulim were completed when she was already Jewish. In other words, by the time she became 3, that's when her Besulim get completed. Because, as we mentioned before, that if someone has to be with her from before she turns 3, they come right back. So therefore, since they come right back, that's not considered yet rola bia. So the way Reb Shimon Yochai expounds the pasuk is, Besulais mizera beis Yisrael, meaning her besulim should be seated when she grew up in a beis Yisrael. and that means to say if she converted at, let's say, age 2, then she was someone that her besulim were nizra, they were seated, meaning at age 3 she was already in Beis Yisrael, that itself would be a woman that's fit to marry into the kuna. Now, once we mention this pasuk, which is the source for these tanoim, the Gemara asks a question on this pasuk. Amalei Rav Nachman l'Rav. Nachman asked to Rav as we continue to Amud Beis, Hai Kra, this pasuk, it says, is contradictory. Because Reisha B'Kayin Gadol, beginning of the pasuk, is obviously talking about a Kayin Gadol, because it says, Amanu Gush Lo Yikachu, then they shouldn't be taking widows and divorces. Ki and Besulis, only virgins, which that's only by a Kayin Gadol, who he's supposed to marry a Besula and not marry a widow. Now, Besefa B'Kayin Hedjit, by the end of the pasuk, is talking about a regular Kayin, because the pasuk says, Besulis Mizera Beis Yisrael, and it goes on, and it says that regarding the widow, Asher Ti Amanu B'Kayin Yikachu, that the widow that's from a Kayin, they should take, which the Gemara's assumption now is that it's referring to an amana that's meyuchas. In other words, a widow that's fit to marry into kahuna, as actually that's going to be one of the interpretations which the Gemara is going to ask how to explain this pasuk, that of Rabbi Yehuda, who it means that who's fit to marry into the kahuna. But one thing is that a widow is permitted to a kayin, is only permitted to a kayin hedyot. So how does this pasuk explain itself? Because in the beginning of the pasuk, obviously it's talking about kayin gadol, and then the end of the pasuk, obviously talking about kayin hedyot. So Amalei, in, he says, yes, that's exactly what the pasuk is. The pasuk is first talking about Kohen Gadol, and then in the middle it switches to something else, Kohen Hedyot. So on that he asked him, because of Kra Hachi, does a pasuk really write like that? Where it doesn't tell you that it's changing from one person to a next, that it's talking about different subjects, and it just switches in the middle? So Amalei, in, he says, yes, Tafsev, I'll prove you from a different pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. The pasuk says, V'ner l'kim terem yichbe, that the light of God had yet to be extinguished. Ushmul Shaykh Behekal Hashem, and Shmuel was laying in the sanctuary of Hashem, which sounds like it's talking about one thing. Now, on that he says, obviously it has to be talking about something, two different subjects. Why? Because Vahaloy Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, there's no sitting and not laying in the Azar, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, El Malchi Beis David Belvat, only for the royalty of the household of David. Now, El Ner Elikim Terem, but this that it says that the light of God had yet to be yichbe beheichal Hashem, to go out and extinguish the heichal Hashem, u Shmuel sheicha b'mkayme. So what you have to say is that Shmuel was laying in this place. In other words, although it sounds like that it's in the same place where the light of Hashem has yet to be extinguished, which is in the Beis HaMikdash, and Shmuel was laying, you can't say that because Shmuel can't lay, he can't even sit in where the heichal is. So it must be two different things, which is Shmuel was laying b'mkayme, meaning in the place where the Levim had their watches, which is they would watch the Beis HaMikdash. And actually, that's how Targum Yonason actually translates over there, Be'ezus Levoi. He was laying in the courtyard of where the Levim are. Now, regarding Terem Yichba Beheichel Hashem, that was going on the Ner, which the Menorah, which was in the Heichel of the Mishkan Shiloi, that's one subject. And then when it was talking about Shmuel, it was actually talking about something else, because obviously he couldn't have been laying where that was. So you see that there is such a concept where a pasuk could be switching in the middle, and therefore here could be going from a Kohen Gadol to a Kohen Hedyot. Now the Gemara continues asking on the pasuk. It says that V'halmana asher tia almana mekohen yikachu, which again we proved is obviously this part of the pasuk is talking about a Kohen Hedyot. But it says that the widow that will be a widow from a Kohen, they should take. Now it sounds like mekohen in, that if she was a widow of a Kohen, then the Kohen could go ahead and marry her. But Miyisrael, if she's the widow of a Yisrael, loy, then what? Then he can't go ahead and marry her? But the Kohen is not forbidden. There's no prohibition about Kohen Hedyot to marry a widow. It doesn't make a difference if she's a widow of a Kohen or a Kohen of a Yisrael. So on that, the Gemara says, Hachikam. And this is what the pasuk is saying. When it says, Mikohen Yikachu, from the Kohen, they should take a widow, it means Mishar Kahan Yikachu. The word mem is always from, meaning to say, like, not all, but some, from the rest of the Kahanim, they could take a widow. So it's coming to explain, actually, which regarding the contradiction we had mentioned before, to tell you that the end of the pasuk is talking about a Kohen Hedyot, because it's saying that the widow that's going to be a widow, even from a Yisrael, Mishar Kahanim, from the rest of the Kahanim, that's not a Kohen Gadol, meaning in contrast to the beginning of the pasuk, it was talking about a Kohen Gadol, Yikachu, they should take those widows, again, and therefore it's actually alluding to that part of that we're switching from Kohen Gadol to Kohen Hedyot. So it doesn't mean that she's a widow from a Kohen, but rather, Mikayin, from the rest of the Kohen, Mikachu, they take a widow. The Gemara says, Tanem Hach, is similar in the Braisa, like this interpretation, that when it says, Mikayin Yikachu, from a Kohen they should take, it means, Mishar Kahanim, from the rest of the Kohen, Mikachu, they should go ahead and take a widow. Now, Rabbi Yehuda gives a different interpretation for the Pasuk. He says, when it says, Mikayin Yikachu, doesn't mean a widow of a Kohen, It means min hamasiyim lekahuna yikachu, from a widow of a man that's fit to have his daughter marry a kohen. That's whose widow you should take. Now, what's that coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude the widow of a ger, and that's Rabbi Huda Tameh. That's Rabbi Huda going to according to his opinion. The Amad that he says, as we mentioned on Amad Aleph, that this pasuk of Yecheskel, which is what we brought on Amad Aleph there, which was bringing the source for these four Tanoim, the first of them being Rabbi Huda of our Mishnah, that Yecheskel was, which is an allusion from this pasuk to teach you regarding the halacha of a bas ger zachar. Of course, again, as Rabbi Huda had learned, mizer beis Yisrael, he learned it has to be kol zer, the primary seed has to be from a Jewish father, and if the father is a ger, the daughter is not going to be kash lekhuna. Where that's where he learns out this halacha of bas ger zachar ke bas chal zachar. Now, moreover, this pasuk could also be a source, an allusion for the halacha that the wife of a ger, and that's actually what we learned for this halacha of a mahatzad that Rabbi Huda had learned it from, that it's, his wife is also going to be pasul with his bia to then go ahead and marry a kain. Because we know the klal that says, kol she'ata neisa bitai, ata neisa amonasa. Any man, you the kain, that you can marry his daughter, you can marry his widow. But v'chol she'i ata neisa bitai, whenever you cannot marry his daughter, for example, like the ger, like we explained in Amad Aleph, which is the halacha of Rabbi Huda, which he learns from the mahatzad, so you cannot marry his widow, which again, that's the same thing that he learns from Mitzurishin and from Chal, where the Bas Ger Zachar is going to be Pasal for Kahuna, so too his widow is going to be Pasal for Kahuna, and therefore that's how he learns up this Pasuk, this same source of the Pesukim over there in Yecheskel, to tell you that Mikayin Yikachu, it's only that whose widow could you marry from someone whose daughter would be fit for Kahuna. That's the type of widow that you can marry to exclude the widow of a ger, then a kohen can't marry such a widow. Now the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah from one of the opinions that we mentioned. The third opinion in this machlokes regarding gerim, regarding being ro to kohuna, was Rabbi Yosi. And Rabbi Yosi said, Av ger shenasi ger. It says, even a convert who married a female convert, their daughter is going to be kasher for kohuna, because as long as she was nizra, she was conceived when they were both already Jewish because they had already converted. Amr of Amnun, Mishmei, the Ula Halacha, Rabbi Yosi, Halacha falls like Rabbi Yosi, that even if both parents are converts, the daughter is kasha for kahuna. And v'cheinam Rabbi Babachana, Halacha, Rabbi Yosi. But, he says, U'miyem shechav Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nogu Kahanim Silsu Ba'atzman. The Kahanim have conducted themselves to a more elevated status, and they treat themselves Kerib Eliezer ben Yaakov, like his opinion, who he holds that the child of a ger and the geris is pasul for kahuna. Now, Amr of Nachman, he says, Amr Huna Huna told me that Bali Malech, if they come to inquire by us, by the Bezdin, is this Kain allowed to marry this daughter from the Ger and the Gieris? So, Mayim Lech Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov. So, we teach him to follow Rebbe Lech, like Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov, that don't marry that woman. But if Nasa, but if he already married the daughter of a Ger and the Gieris, the Allah has Ein Mitzin Oisim Imenu, we do not make him remove himself from that marriage. Rabbi Yosi, like Rabbi Yosi, holds that a kohen is permitted to marry the daughter of a ger and the gers. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about psulei yichus, specifically regarding mamzer, and also regarding the nemanis that parents have regarding these psulim. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'im benize mamzer." If a father says, "This son of mine, he's a mamzer. He was born from my bia with a chi of karis. I had relations with my sister. This is the product. That's who this is my son from. He's a mamzer," says the Mishnah, "ein neman." The father's not believed. Why? Because karevim, relatives, are not believed in the court of law to say testimony. So he is a relative, obviously, to his son. And therefore he's not fit to say testimony regarding him to say that he's a pasul, that he's a mamzer. Says the Mishnah, "Mafal shnei emaidim." Even if both the father and the mother agree, they both say, "Alo uber shibima eho mamzer," who they say regarding the fetus that she's pregnant with, that it's a mamzer. They're both saying, "I did not conceive this from my husband, rather from another man." So the Tanakama, "Einem nemonim," they're not believed. Which the Gemara is going to ask, what's this afilo? Why is this really more than the chiddush, than the reisha? Of course, they're both relatives to the fetus, to the child. We just said that a relative is not believed. Now, Rehuda, he disagrees. And he says, "Nemonim," they are believed. And actually, he disagrees even on the halacha of the reisha. And the Gemara is going to learn the reason why he holds that a father is believed regarding his child to say that he's a mamzer. But the Gemara opens up by asking the question that we just alluded to, "My vafilish name." What is the big chiddush of the second case of the Tanakama when both parents agree that the child's a mamzer? If we said that you're not believed because you're a relative, who cares that it's both parents? What's even if both of them? So the Gemara says there's two chiddushim there. It's saying that we don't have to tell you. In other words, I didn't have to tell you regarding the first case of the Mishnah, regarding the father, that he's not believed, because he doesn't really know regarding his wife if she was impregnated from him or from another man. So of course he's not going to believe regarding saying his child's a mamzer. But the second case, which is both mother and father agreeing, that's a bigger chiddush, because even her, who she does really know, she knows her body better than her husband, who she conceived from, even there, Allah is lay mehamna, we're not going to believe her again, because you can only invalidate a person with full-fledged testimony, and the parents are not believed to say testimony on their child. Now, there's an added chiddush in that second case. I don't have to tell you regarding the first case, that we don't believe the father, where the child had some presumptive validity, because he was already born, and it's up until now where now he's 7 years old, and the father says, oh, my son, he's a mamzer, he's a bastard, right? Where up until now he had a cheskes kashas. Like any Jewish person, we assume that he was born with kashas. We're there, yes, dolei mahamni, we're not going to believe the father. But the chiddush in the second case is even a fetus, the leslei chazaka de kashas, there's no presumption of kashas because he never really came to the world yet to say that we had assumed up until now that he was kashar, because this is his inception of coming to the world. Even there, we say loy mehemni, even there where you would say, okay, so it's a blank slate, maybe we should believe the parents that he's not a kashar, that he's a mamzer, even though we're not going to believe them, we assume the child's going to be kashar and we cannot disqualify him based on the testimony of relatives, meaning the father and the mother. Now that was the Tanakhama. But as our Mishnah said, he disagrees, says the parents are believed to say their child is a mamzer. So the Gemara brings the source, Kedetan, like we learned in the Brayis, and recorded this on Daf Ayin Dalam and Aleph. The Pasuk says that the father should be Yaker, should be recognizing his firstborn son, even if it's the Ben Asnua, that he's the firstborn. So the drush is Yakirenu Lachem. What does it mean that he should recognize? He should make it recognizable for other people that to say that this is the fact. So Mekanam Rabbi Huda, from here Rabbi Huda says, what's the pasuk telling you? That a father is believed to say, this is my firstborn son, because that's what's going to give him the halachas of the firstborn, which gets those unique halachas. Now, says Rabbi Huda, just like a person is believed to say, this is my firstborn son, so he's believed to say that this is my son who's a ben gerusha and ben chalutza. In other words, just like he's believed to say something positive about his son, that is the firstborn, he's also believed to say that a disqualifying factor, we trust the father that he was born from a forbidden union, which we brought from Taisus there, and the Fayin Dalad, where do you see that just like he could do something positive, he could do something negative? But the Chacham Aymrim, they disagree, as the Tanakam of our Mishnah, that Einu Neman, he's not believed, and as Rashi points out, the Chacham only disagree regarding the invalidating of the child, but not regarding the Bechar, there obviously the Pasuk is saying that the father is believed to say who's the firstborn. But that's what the Pasuk, that's what the Gemara actually asks now. Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak L'Rabbi says, Bishulam Rabbi Yehuda, we understand the contrary of Yehuda, Hayinduch Sev Yaker, that's what the Pasuk is saying, this terminology of recognize, to make him recognizable that we believe in the father in regards to all halachas, even to say the child's a mamzer, Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. But El Rabban and Yaker Lamali, but according to Rabban, what do you need the terminology of Yaker? What do we need the father to testify regarding the son that we're believing him for if we don't believe the father? So the Gemara says, Bitzar Chakera. It would be talking about a case when you need the recognition of the father, because the Pasuk is actually talking about, as the context is, by the firstborn. Now, we know, we saw who came out first. So that's what the Gemara is answering, that they came from overseas. We never had an assumption regarding which is the firstborn son. The only way is based on what the father is saying. That's when you need the pasuk for. You need for the father to testify that he's the firstborn son. The Gemara asks, but lamai helchasa. But then for what halacha would the pasuk would be telling us that the father is believed regarding saying that this is his firstborn son? For what halacha? Well, what halachic relevance would that be? So seemingly would be obviously losses lepishnayim, to give him a double portion, which is what the firstborn gets, which is what the context there is talking about over there in that pasuk. But that the Gemara asks, pshita, it's obvious that we would trust the father. Lama likra, why do I need a pasuk for? Because you have what's called amigui. Amigui, which is like a kreach ataina, it tells us that we should believe you because you could have said something, you could do something anyway that would get your purpose, your goal. So therefore, this way, we should also believe you because if the father wanted to, he could have gifted all of his property to his son. He has the rights to his property. So, milo yavile. So, isn't he believed now to give him also with his words at least a double portion? Because when he's coming and saying, this is my firstborn son. So, okay, what's he doing? He's coming to give him a double portion. Of course we believe him. We don't even need a pasuk to tell you that, because just like if he wanted to say, I want to give him everything, he would be allowed to do that. So why do we need to have a pasuk to tell you this halacha of Yaakov, according to Rabbanon, to give him a double portion? So the Gemara says, b'nechasim shenaflu la'achar mekein. You would need the pasuk for a case of when, regarding properties that are not his yet, but that are going to become his at a later point in time. In other words, after he says in front of us, this is my firstborn son, after that, properties fell for him, let's say through Yerusha or from some other investment. Now he wants to go far away of his father. So he testifies regarding this child that if there's going to be properties that are going to fall for me that are not mine yet, either because someone that will die and I will inherit it, so I want this child of mine to inherit the firstborn portion to get a double portion. Now it's for that, if we didn't have a pasuk, then you wouldn't have a migui. Because if the father wanted to give him that now, he wouldn't be able to give it to him now. Because there's halacha that ain't odem makna da b'shalei b'loilim. He can't bequeath to someone else something he didn't get yet. And therefore, it's only because that he's believed to say that he's the firstborn, where then, yes, but then even if it falls at a later point in time, the son will end up getting it because of Yerusha, as inheritance. But because the father didn't die yet. But as a matan, he wouldn't be able to, and therefore there wouldn't be a migui, and therefore it's for that halacha that we believe the father to say that he's the firstborn son. Now, but the Gemara asks on this answer, according to Meir, that his opinion is mentioned elsewhere, that he holds that a person could bequeath, he could give over something, even that he didn't get yet, it's not even in the world yet. So, according to him, what do you need Yaakov for? Because the case we just described, the father actually could gift it already, even though it didn't fall yet. So the Gemara answers, the case that it would be relevant for would be that he would be inheriting those properties, the father, when he'd be in the throes of death. In other words, if after he testified that this is the firstborn son, he would then later become a geisus, and it would be at that point in time that he would inherit something, it's for that case that if properties fall from then, where only then would that son take a double portion because of the father's belief that we only know from the pasuk of Yaakov to take a double portion. Because if we didn't have the pasuk to believe the father to be makir that this is the firstborn son, that case would not have demigo. And even Remei would agree that if he would say that the properties that are going to come to me when I'm going to be a geisus should be given to you, he wouldn't be saying anything. The reason being is because although Remei holds you can be makir nidav shalei b'la'ilam, but it has to be that when it will ultimately come, that then the person is someone that could be giving a gift at that point in time. And since when the person is a geisus, Rashi holds, the way he explains it is that he's not a bar matana. He can't gift something at a time when he's a geisus. So therefore, it wouldn't have the migui in that case, because he wouldn't even be able to give it, even though you could give something shalei b'la'ilam. And therefore, it's for that type of a case that you would only need it, you would only know it based on the halach of Yaakov, according to Rabban, that you need it for the double portion. Now Rashi just points out one thing. That's why the Gemara picks out a case of when he's a geisus and doesn't pick a case of when after he dies, which that's also a time when he's not able to give a gift. And then it would only be based on because Yaakov, that he's believed based on the words that he's saying. And that says Rashi, no, because that case, it wouldn't work either as the belief of making his son the firstborn son, because Allah is that Bukhar doesn't take in what's called Bera'u kibamuchzik. Ro means to say something that at the time that the father died, he didn't yet have in his domain. It's only something that's ro, it's fit to come. It's going to come at a later point in time when his great uncle passed away, he's going to inherit that. And the Torah tells us that the firstborn only gets b'chal asher yimatzeloi. Whatever's found by the father at that point in time, that he gets a double portion for. But something that ends up coming to the father's estate a year after the father had passed away, that actually the son doesn't get a double portion. That's why it has to be talking about specifically a case of geisus. Because achar misa, yeah, he wouldn't be able to gift it when he's dead either, but then he wouldn't get it either as the pasuk either. It's only when he's a geisus, where then even if you could be makna davish label oilam, but you wouldn't be able to makna something that would only come to him when he's a geisus, when he can't even give him atana, so then you wouldn't have the migui. So it's only based on the pasuk of Yaakov, where the Rabbanan say that's what you need it for. Again, not like a Behuda, because they don't agree to his halacha that you believe to say that the son is apostle, it is a Ben Gerusha, or regarding a Mamzer. It's regarding the getting the double portion that we believe the father to say that this is my firstborn son.